I'd like to start out by giving special thanks to the elders and the ministers, and to all, as I put it here, who were courageous enough to support this crucial seminar. One of the things I get from all over the country is our church doesn't have this problem. And what I have found in my travels, if it's a congregation of 50 or 1,500, everybody has it. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. We've been looking at this seminar for at least 9 months. I don't remember when we first talked about it, but it's been a long time, and I'm really happy to finally be able to be here. I'd like to thank not only those who are responsible, but thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate that. I hope you'll get a lot out of it this morning. I want to start this morning with letting you see just a bit of my heart. And the reason I say that is I held a workshop in West Memphis, Tennessee, or Arkansas, at the Missouri Street Church. Mike Seals, the preacher, he's a good friend of mine. And about two months after the seminar, I called Mike and I said, "Hey, Mike, I need some feedback on the seminar." I waited until all the emotions gone, and I want to know feedback. And he said, "Well, it's a wonderful seminar." I said, "Come on, Mike. You know, I want to get to what I can improve on." He said, "Well, you gave great information. You were spot on with what you said, but," he said, you didn't let the congregation see your heart until the fourth session. And he said, "I think you need to let the congregation see your heart a little sooner." So I decided I would start with letting you see a little bit of my heart this morning. This topic is extremely personal to me. My son graduated from Harding as a marriage and family therapist. He and his wife went to Italy for 2 years. And then several years after he went to Italy, he came to our house and he said, "Dad, Mom, I need to talk to you just for a minute." We said, "Okay." He said, "I've been struggling with an addiction to pornography." I said, "Okay." He said, "I really need some help." I said, "Okay. What can I do?" And he said, "Well, I just needed to confess that to you, and could you pray for me?" I said, "Absolutely." Let me tell you, I did not have a clue what he was telling me. I was as ignorant of that as any topic I've ever heard of in my life. I thought maybe he looked at a Playboy occasionally. That wasn't even close to what an addiction to pornography is all about. And so in one sense, I really failed my son. Because he came for help, and I did not have a clue what to do. He went to counseling. He's fine. He's been a certified sexual addiction therapist for a long time. He helps people every single day. But my interest first started with my own son. And then my brother-in-law, my sister's husband. I held a workshop in Henderson, Tennessee, and she was there. And when it was over, she came up and she said, "You may have just saved my marriage." I said, "Great, how did I do that?" She said, "Bill's addicted to porn, and he's been addicted for a long time. And I think with the principles you gave today, maybe I can help save our marriage." Well, it went on about 2 more years, and one day she came home from work and he'd packed up his bags and moved to Phoenix. They lived in Kansas City. He packed up and went to Phoenix. Why he went to Phoenix, I have no idea. But basically what he said is, "I've been fighting pornography all my life and nothing has helped. And I'm really tired of having to fight it, so I'm just going to give in to it. And I know you wouldn't stand for it, so I'm leaving you." He just took off. And then our son-in-law. My daughter has been married until recently, nearly 27 years. About a year and a half ago, she came over. She lived next door to us. She came over and she said, "Dad, we got some real problems." I said, "Okay." And she said, "Chris has been addicted to porn since he was 16 years old. And," she said, "I knew something was wrong in our marriage, but I didn't know exactly what it was. He's an international pilot, so he was always gone half the time. He was home for 2 weeks and gone for 2 weeks. Home for a week, gone for 10 days. Home for 10 days, gone for a week. So he acted really good at home. He was an elder in the church at home. He acted very nicely around me and the family, but he had this other side to him. And when he left town on a trip, it's unbelievable some of the things that he did. One of the worst days of my life, and this is the first time I've talked about it publicly, I hope I can do this. One of the worst days of my life was August 21st of this year when I helped our daughter and her two boys move out of their house and move into town into a rental. Carried her furniture in, and it just crushed me. Unfortunately, a lot of you all know how that feels. But after nearly 27 years of marriage, her divorce was final. The major cause of which was her husband's lifelong addiction to porn and comorbid addictions. That just means additional addictions. Addictions never come one at a time. They always come in bunches. I have no idea the effect it had on her and on her boys. So she wouldn't see me. I went to the trailer and cried, so nobody would see me. But it broke my heart. So many people think this is not a problem. So many think, oh, you know, just get over it. That's just not the way it works. So pornography and sexual addiction led me to retire early from Harding after I taught for 38 years. Led me to give up a preaching position I had while going to Harding, or while teaching at Harding for 21 years. God blessed us in that ministry. When we went there, they had an average attendance of 33. We worked it up to 200. Wasn't anything I did, it was God. Addiction to pornography and working with that caused me to resign as an elder, which was my highest honor in my life. Caused me to work full time with my nonprofit, and I'm on retirement and Social Security, so I don't require a salary. And it actually changed the very focus of my life's work. You say, why did you do all this? Well, I'm sure you believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit, as I do. And the way I like to put it is the Holy Spirit gave me little choice except to help people with this addiction. When I lived so close to it for so many years and didn't even recognize it. When I saw the tears of my daughter and my sister and my son's wife, I couldn't help but get involved in this. So today I want to give you some suggestions on how to keep your family safe on the internet specifically. This is my squeaky, clean, vanilla presentation, so you have nothing to worry about. I do want to give a plug for my daughter. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, she's speaking to older teens and women only. You need not miss that session. She knows what she's talking about. She and Chris were in 3 years of intense counseling before she said, I can't take it anymore, Dad. I'm going to be the first one on our side of the family to get a divorce, but I can't handle it anymore. Understand that. You don't need to miss the 3 o'clock session. The moral skill is telling you how to be safe on the internet. The moral will is doing what's right and being a person of character. I can give you all kinds of reasons or ways to keep safe, but if we don't take it internally, if we don't become people of character, if we don't teach our children, you have an obligation to God first, and you don't stop doing things or keep from doing things so Dad and Mom won't be upset. You need to be concerned about your relationship with God, so the moral will is doing what's right and being a person of character. And before we come up with solutions, we have to talk about some problems. We have a hurricane that's just off the East Coast. And I think we all know about hurricanes. The hot air from the sea rises up, the cold air from the sky comes down, and the combination causes a huge storm. On land, it's a tornado. In the ocean, it's a cyclone, a lot of times called a hurricane. If you're from the NASA spacecraft, that's what a hurricane looks like. You have all this raging wind, and what is that in the middle there? It's the eye. Now, let me tell you the eye phenomenon. Inside the eye, it's calm. Inside the eye, you don't even know there's a storm. Inside the eye, life is fine, sun is shining. But a lot of people are inside the eye of the storm of pornography, and they don't even see the raging wind around them. I'm not trying to be dramatic. And as we go through the day, I'll give you personal examples of things that have happened to people on porn. Here's the problem. We don't see the storm, and a lot of times we just stick our head in the sand. The number one reason I do not hold seminars at hundreds of churches is when I talk to the elders, they go, "Oh, we just don't have a problem here." I had a very good friend at one of the larger churches in Memphis call me one day, and I was talking to him. I said, "Hey, Eddie, we need to come over there and have one of these seminars. We had one at Holmes Road. We need to come over there." And he said, "Oh, no, we don't need it. We have 700 people here, but we don't have a problem." And I said, "I hope you don't, Eddie, but I'm afraid you're going to find out." 6 months later, he called me and said, "Hey, Lou, you were so right. We need help." What we have to understand is we're in a spiritual battle. We're not in a battle against flesh and blood, but we're in a battle with Satan himself, the very souls of our families in our churches. I'm just going to throw out some facts and give you some pointers. You can go to the internet and you look up, "How do I keep my family safe on the internet?" And you get hundreds and hundreds of suggestions. So I'm not going to list 400 suggestions today. I'm going to give you some that I think are extremely important. The average age of exposure to pornography today is 8 years old. And when people say, "Well, I have a 10-year-old, should they come to your session?" They know more about porn than you do. They really, honestly know about porn more than you do. My daughter's a marriage and family therapist. She works in the school system in Cabot, Arkansas. She deals with troubled teens. She has experiences that if she told you, you would have curled hair the rest of your life. She deals with this stuff every single day. She's called the police on people. She's put kids in mental institutions. She has protected herself when they've attacked her. All kids in high school and their parents are going, "I don't know what the problem is." The addiction of choice among Christian men is pornography. Approximately 70% of all men view porn every single week. At least 20% of Christian men view it every single day. You go, "That can't be true." It is true. It is true. What's probably more surprising as is pornography is the addiction of choice among Christian women as well. About 50% of Christian women view porn every single week. The American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers say this: 68% of all divorces involve one party meeting a new lover over the internet. 56% involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornography websites. This is not a Christian organization. And they say 68% of all divorces deal with pornography. 68%. Hello? We ought to finally come to the place where we're understanding that's a problem. There are 2.4 billion internet users worldwide. And I call this online in 60 seconds. Google, there's 2 million searches every minute. 72 hours of video are put up on YouTube. 2 2,460,000 posts go up on Facebook every minute. $83,000 worth of sales are made by Amazon every minute. 278,000 tweets are put out there. 1.4 million minutes are used in Skype. 260,000 photos are uploaded every single minute. And 204,000 emails are sent every single minute. The average text per month per user is 3,100. You go, I don't do all that. I don't do nearly 3,100. I understand that. That's an average of one text per user every 10 minutes, 24/7. You go, I send three a month. Well, somebody is way over their 3,100 because that's the average for all internet users. Is it any surprise that 1 million predators are on the internet at any given moment? It's a parent's responsibility to know what their kids are doing on their computer game or cell phone, gaming system, smart TVs. Anything that's hooked up to the internet, you can get porn on. A lot of families won't let their kids have computers in their bedroom, but they have Xbox. Xbox hooks directly to the internet, and you get porn directly off an Xbox. A lot of us don't know that, do we? Anything connected to the internet can get anything on the internet. We have to take time to teach our children why something's not good rather than because I said so. I'm guessing a lot of you were raised just like I was. Hey, Dad, what about this? Well, you do this. Why? I said so. That's why. Well, Dad, whop. It only took me four or five slaps. I'm a little harder than the... Usually everybody would learn after one. It took four or five for me. But I learned not to ask questions. If I came in and said, hey, Dad, one of my friends at school showed me a Playboy. I'd never seen anything like that before. You know what he had done? You can't ever see that boy again. You can't go play ball with that boy. He can never come to your house again. He would have cut me off from everybody. He never taught me why things were wrong. He just said, if you do it, I'm going to kill you. Need to spend time with your family establishing an atmosphere of trust when it comes to the internet. Electronics should not be your primary babysitting strategy. People get home from work, get home from school, they say, oh, go play on the internet, I'm fixing lunch, I'm fixing dinner. That's just not what needs to happen. Leaving children to surf the web unattended is like dropping them in a game-infested neighborhood and telling them, have fun, I'll pick you up at midnight. We wouldn't even consider doing that. But we let our kids run rampant on the internet, on YouTube, whatever. This is one of the best ideas I've ever heard. Every family that with children needs to write a family media standards pledge. And what it is, it's a pledge that says when your kids come to my house, this is what you as a parent can expect. There will be no internet usage. Or there will be some, but we'll limit it to this. There will be no movies shown that aren't PG, at least probably just P. And it lists all the things. After 9 o'clock, nobody uses their cell phone. I mean, you have to decide what your pledge is, but you write that pledge out, and when parents come to drop their kids off for a sleepover, you give them the pledge. You say, this is what you can expect when your kids come to my house. And then when your kids go to their house, you walk to the door and say, I'd like to see your pledge. Well, we don't have a pledge. Well, my kids aren't spending the night. You're the parent. It's called parenting. Huge suggestion. Beware of free apps. If you have a phone and you get apps, how many of you have free apps? I do. I was at Harding University Lectures. I just talked to Joe. I was trying to download a 35-second video I'm going to show this afternoon. And all my sophisticated equipment is back at the office. I paid big bucks to get stuff that I could use to do what I wanted to with. I'm sitting there in the student center at my booth talking to people about pornography, and I needed this one 35-second clip. So I went to a free site, typed it in, asked for the video. Not one click, not one movement on my part. You know what came up? The worst pornography I have ever witnessed in my entire life. And in my work for all these years, I've seen some bad stuff. I've taken bad stuff away from people. But sitting there in the middle of Harding University at my booth talking about pornography, it came up on my computer because I downloaded a free app. Doesn't always happen, but free apps will steal your contacts. They'll take your addresses. They'll sell them to other people. I have a Bible app that's a free app, and it takes my contacts. I just know that, and I limit what they can get to. 52% of all porn is accessed by mobile devices. Did you get that? 52% of all porn is accessed by mobile devices. Your children and grandchildren have iPhones, Androids? Are the internet connected? 52% of all porn is downloaded. iPads, iPhones, Androids. Everyone needs to install a filtering or blocking accountability program on all their internet devices. Oh, I trust my kids. I trust them too. I just don't trust the perverts. Don't neglect your duty as your child's prime source for information about sexuality. Social media are not private, even your photos. There's a big deal on Facebook right now. People are sending it all over. If you'll just post this little this comment on your site that says, nobody can use this for any reason without my permission, you need to know it's hooey. I'd like to say it's more than that, but I'm in the pulpit. It's just not true. I got one the other day that said, if you'll just send in $5.99, nobody can take your photos and use them for any reason, or you can sue them. That's just false. First of all, Facebook has been public since 2012. And right at the front it says, now that Facebook has gone public, here's what you can do. It's just not true. You put something up on the internet, you post a picture of your vacation, Facebook has ownership. They can take that picture and put it on a billboard in the middle of Minneapolis and advertise whatever they want, good, bad, or ugly, and you can do nothing about it. Because when you agreed to accept Facebook rules, you agreed to give up all your rights. You have to understand what an IP address is. This is a little bit of a deterrent. Every internet-able device has an address. It's called an IP address. It's internet protocol. It is a unique address to your device. That's how one of the preachers of the church, 100 miles north of Searcy, about 2 months ago, had the FBI come into the office at the church, confiscate all his computers, haul him out in handcuffs, because at the church building, while he was working for the church, on their nickel, on their equipment, he was downloading child porn. How did they find out? They traced him through an IP address. You think what you do is secretive? Nothing's secretive. I hope that scares you. Nothing is secretive. Use all computers in your home where the activity can easily be monitored. Make sure you know what social media your family's using. If you don't know what this means, you need to get on board. Set a cutoff time for all social media use for everybody in the family. It needs to be age appropriate. At what point do you make your children and grandchildren quit using this stuff? Has to be a time. If you have what they call blue color comes from TVs, all electronic devices. It keeps you from sleeping. That's why you shouldn't go to bed with your TV on. That's why you ought to turn off all electric devices at least an hour before you go to bed, so that blue phenomenon will not be messing with you. You can't sleep well at night. Do you go to sleep with the TV on? That could be a very good cause. Never allow kids to keep their electronic devices in their bedrooms. They'll be receiving texts, photos, advertisements all night long. Have a central docking station for all portable devices. Have it in the living room. Have it somewhere away from the bedrooms. At night, everybody brings their phones. Everybody brings their laptops. You put them there. You charge them all night long, and nobody can get them till whatever time you say in the morning. You can't pick up your phone till 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever you say. Insist on knowing your kids' passwords and use them. Make sure you know what your children do on the internet and with whom they're communicating. These are pictures of five people who were recently kicked off of Facebook along with 15 others. They were all perverts posing as young girls and trying to get to young girls on the internet. All five were prosecuted. Don't participate in chat rooms. Chat rooms are the playground of today's sexual predator. First lesson you taught your kids is don't talk with strangers. Same thing on the internet. If you don't recognize who's sending you an email, do not open it. Do not open it. If it's legit, they'll come back. They'll call you. But don't open up something that you've never seen before on your computer. My time's up. I knew it was going to be. I need to make one more point. This is a sign we have at the church where I preached for 21 years. Welcome, you are entering a safe place. Our motto is, come as you are, leave better. But your kids need to know you're a safe place. Your kids and grandkids need to know if they come to you and say, hey, Grandpa, look what I found on the internet. They come to me, they talk to me, we talk it out. They know what to expect, their parents know what to expect, and things go much better. There's all kinds of more information I can give you. But again, our time's up. Thank you for your attention, and I'm going to turn it over to Joe.